Hello, and welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast, your weekly dose of inspiration and exploration. Join me, your host, Sam Harris, as I discover how mindset can help you do incredible things through my conversations with the world's most interesting people, from tech billionaires to leading scientists, best-selling authors to notorious hackers. The goal is to increase our collective wisdom and attitudes to make us all happier and healthier, wiser and wealthier. Who doesn't want that? Welcome to the first podcast of 2020, for me anyway. As you are a normal human, you might not be listening to this as your first podcast in 2020, so I should probably stop talking about it, really. Anyway, this podcast episode does question a lot of what you might be doing with your life and will invite you to think about what things are and the way they are and what they could actually be instead. So maybe this is useful for you to listen to as you are deciding what to do with your decade or whether you want to have a new gender for this decade, because of why not. Anyway, today we have Naum Kostuki on the podcast, who was my guest last week. He is a success coach and a renowned public speaker and author. He left his successful life in business to move to Costa Rica and to get in touch with nature, whilst at the same time he started a fine dining restaurant, which is now rated number one on TripAdvisor for the whole country. So Naum is a radical human with amazing power to think deeply and transcend the normal problems that hold people back, I guess. And currently he's also getting back into coaching and helping people to do impossible things, which is pretty cool as a resume. The first part of our conversation was hosted last week, and it's worth listening to before this, but this episode does make sense by itself as a standalone, and we discuss how to tell engaging stories, how to find success, and we move into a very big discussion on gender and general open-mindedness and the future of gender. Yeah, it's a bit deep. I certainly learned a lot from it and have really changed my own personal opinions on things. I identified it as straight before this podcast, and now I'm not, so that's interesting. Maybe it'll have an effect on you as well. We will see. I hope you enjoy it. If you didn't listen to the last episode, there's one concept about multiple realities which is quite important to this episode, which is the idea that as a human, you don't have to just have like one main kind of reality. You can be both an introvert and an extrovert kind of thing. Like, there's different sort of parts of your personality that can come out in different situations, and you don't necessarily always belong in one box. You can be in like two different boxes, or like there can be no box and you can just be like all shades of different colors. You don't just have to be black or white kind of thing. So that's quite an important thing that you just need to sort of understand why we're using this term. And then just from where we left off in the last podcast, Naum was explaining how his restaurant came to be so successful, and the fact that he's sort of creating multiple story layers to people as they arrive in the middle of Costa Rica expecting this really fancy fine dining restaurant. But then like he turns up, there's like a shirtless hippie and there's like just picnic tables around, and then like this weird food comes out. And he just explains how he set that up, and that he's like setting up this like hypnotic loop of different stories going on that are confusing people, and then how he brings it all together. And we then arrive now in the conversation here of just him explaining the hypnotic loops again, and then why that's how his restaurant is so successful, because of his sort of creating all these crazy story layers. And then we go into a debate of like success and how you make different businesses and things. So that should just like get you in the right spot to listen to this podcast.
One of the main techniques of hypnosis is the idea of opening a story, opening multiple stories, and not finishing them. And then you finish them all at the same time. And so what happens, every time you start a new story and you don't finish it, the person's kind of hanging because they're waiting for you to finish the previous story, but now they're trying to follow the next one. And then you start a new story and they're trying to follow that story, but now they're trying to hang out to the last two stories. And that's kind of how you create what they call an hypnotic loop, which is, you know, getting people into this thing where they're like, whoa, and they go in, because
they're trying to keep up with.
And then when you close them, suddenly it's like, wow, it all makes sense. Mm. And that's what happens, is that they're like, wait, what the fuck? Fine dining. And then they see me. They're like, wait, this dude lives in the jungle alone in the middle of nowhere. What the fuck is this about? Where is the staff? And then they're like, wait, but you're a business coach and you don't want to go into training. So we talk about the business coaching, and I tell them about working with large companies, and they see this guy with long hair, and they're trying to open that story about a corporate guy doing consulting and living in London and New York. And then sometimes we talk about my ex-wife and like, okay, so this dude was married to a woman in New York who's an accountant. And then, you know, we may talk about judo, and then we may talk about other countries, and then we talk about the food and all of that while they're eating really nice creative stuff. And the food I create is like me, you know, it's just a weird combination of stuff.
And so they're eating stuff where they're like,
what the fuck is this? Like, what? You can eat that? I didn't know you could eat that. I'm like, I didn't know you could eat that either, to be honest. I was like, that's why I'm serving it to you, because I was surprised when I did this. And I was like, oh, wow, this is good. And so I really shared the experience with them, because it's stuff that I'm just like, wow, this is awesome. I didn't know this could be that good. So I mostly don't know what I'm doing, and I just try, and I'm just willing to make a lot of mistakes. And because I'm willing to make a lot of mistakes, I get to do things that other people don't do. And so that's how the restaurant worked. And it wasn't supposed to be a restaurant. It was just a temporary project. But somehow I think that it had the right blend of different realities in my life, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So have you had many kind of projects like that? Because I've tried a lot of different temporary things, just putting stuff together, some of which I kind of realized I could make work, but then was like, you know what? This isn't going to be that fun. So this was something that you could just try and then realize actually it was a lot of fun and could just carry on doing.
Yeah. And I think that this is, again, this idea of, you know, these sort of multiple realities and being okay with change. And humans are terrible actually at change. We're really bad at accepting change and letting go of things. I think that what's been important for me is the idea of, yeah, being able to do temporary projects and let them go. And like you said, being like, oh, yeah, you know, that was fun, that was cool, but nah, whatever. I'll do something else. I'll move on. I'll do another version. Because, yeah, I've done tons of projects like that. Started so many things, built websites, wrote books, so many things that didn't work. But you know what? The best thing I learned about the stuff that don't work is if you're going to fail, fail fast. So ship quickly so that the stuff that don't work don't take you too much time. And if something works, then spend more time on it. So that's the way I operate, is that I'm very much in a conversation with my audience and my clients and my network, which is I put things out. Once I see something sticks, then I'm like, okay, wait a second. If that sticks, then let's spend more time on that.
Definitely.
And very willing to let go of things and be like, you know what, this is not. Like I did photography, for example. I did 4 or 5 exhibitions. I sold a bunch of photos. I made some good money. But I was like, you know, do I really want to be standing at exhibitions every week?
And I was like, I could do this, you know, like once a month, but
not every day. Not every
day. Yeah. Yeah, I've had the exact same thing. I started like a bit of a travel business, just doing cool things where I basically was able to go travel to awesome places and get a bunch of people to come with me because I organized it and, you know, get paid having awesome experiences. But I was like, actually, do I really want to be organizing these things and being responsible for a bunch of people all the time? And it's like, actually, no, it's fine. I've had a few cool tours. People paid for me to go cool places and that's fine. I don't need to run this for the next few years and build it as a business. So just trust me. Out.
And that's the biggest thing that for me was important to unlearn from school. Was the idea of being okay to not finish stuff. In school, there's this idea, you have to finish what you start. You have to finish what you start. It's like, this is the dumbest idea that I've been taught, I think, as a kid. You know, when is finish? I mean, I guess it's a great idea in the idea of finishing something, the idea of completing. The question, I guess, the stupidity of it is, how far is finishing? I think what's important is saying, okay, well, you know, let's do a 1 hour project or 1 month project or 1 week project and then finish that. But then that's it. then you can let go and move on to something else, and you don't have to stick with it.
Yeah, it's really, really, really useful for lots of entrepreneurs and things.
Same for your stuff. And I know you were saying, you know, for your coaching that you're not sure, there's that, where you're doing the conversations. I think you're doing it the right way, which is things emerge.
Yeah, definitely. It's also quite nice in terms of like what you're just saying about the hypnotism, because if quite often I'll start a conversation, I'll get the person to tell me their life story right away, and there'll be like four different things to sort of pick up on. So they've literally made like four open loops straight away, and we'll go through the conversation kind of opening up more and then sort of kind of closing them off until you get to the end when you finally like close the whole thing. And so it kind of keeps you like in the whole thing, and it's really nice. Whereas
exactly,
if I just sort of go, okay, I'm going to ask you X, Y, Z, it's just a bit like, it could lead somewhere else, but I'm not really that interested. And it's sort of, yeah, it's weird. Yeah, it's definitely.
Yeah, it's nice when the conversation can go round and round and round. And
then kind of come back to itself. It's good.
Look back, look back.
So, going back to some of the things that we also spoke about. So, yeah, how did, like, you think about, because you said you wrote some books. I've just been reading your book about branding, which it's really nice. I really like the way you've got some good examples, but it makes you think. Like I said earlier, that you ask good questions, it really makes you actively do the thing that you should be doing. Well, it's not just a book that you kind of read and think, oh yeah, it was really good, I had some good ideas, and then you kind of just forget about it. It's like you actually do the things, and that's super helpful. But is that part of your kind of blending yourself into reality and achieving what you wanted to do? Is that how you kind of tried to define yourself to get the goals that you wanted? Like the branding, was that kind of what you were doing? And then you
were the personal branding?
Yeah. So did you brand yourself specifically and then just write a book to help other people do it? Or was
No. And funnily enough, I've been very resistant to calling my website Noam Kos or noamkosyuki.com, even though that's what I recommend everyone else to do. But, you know, I've got to obviously not do what I think is the right thing for everybody else. Because that's life. But, yeah, no, what happened? That was a funny story, that book, actually, because I did my TED Talk. A guy contacted me and he was like, I want to interview you. And I was like, sure, you know, what do you want to interview me about? He's like, I want to interview you around personal branding. And I'm like, my TED Talk's not about personal branding. I was like, I think you got the wrong guy. I was like, that's not what I do. He's like, oh, well, you know, like, basically, he was like, you know, put your name on Google and tell me, I want to know how you do that. And I put my name on Google and I saw all the results, and that, yeah, everything's about me. You know, it's just lots of articles and videos and this and that. And I was like, oh, that's easy. I was like, I can tell you about that. I was like, that's no problem. And we had a whole conversation. And, you know, as I have conversations, I often take notes. And by the end of the conversation, I had all these notes around what I was talking about and answering his questions about how, you know, I got myself, I guess, how I built my brand. And by the end of it, I was like, wait, actually, I do know a lot about personal branding. I was like, I never thought I did. I didn't even know what personal branding was until I had that conversation. But I'd been doing the stuff. And so I told him, I said, look, you've written books and you do interviews and you write articles. I'm not a writer. I was like, I'm a speaker. I was like, would you be up for doing a series of interviews around this? We go deeper into all these topics. I was like, I've got the map here. You know, we just pick each topic. You interview me, and then we get a transcript of the audio, and we have a book. And the guy was like, okay, that sounds fun. And that's how a year and a half later, I had the book in my hands, and I was like, how the fuck did this happen? I remember just being like, wait a second, how did we do this?
Yeah.
It's like, it's just amazing. Yeah.
That's so cool.
That's how I wrote the book.
So I had no idea. So I had no clue. I didn't even market it. I didn't promote it. I didn't do a launch event, because my contention was the first of anything you do is crap. So no point advertising it, because it's my first book. So obviously it's not going to be good. So I'll
write another two or three,
and then we'll start promoting them. And then it became required reading at the Fashion Institute of Technology a few years
later, and I was like,
wow, I guess maybe it's not that bad.
Yeah, so that was enjoying it. It's good.
So that was cool. I was like, wow.
Yeah, nice. But yeah, I do sort of agree with the philosophy of not going super hard on things when you first see them. Like when I first started the podcast, I was definitely, it was more learning the process of podcasting rather than trying to make it huge. And like now it's actually growing really fast just because people are liking it. And I went on to like Reddit to try and do some recommending and found people actually in different channels recommending my podcast already. It was like, oh shit, I don't need to do this. Cool. And
well, that's kind of satisfying.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's awesome. That's great news.
That's definitely like a bit of a turning point. I was like, oh wow, can take this a bit more seriously. It's good. But yeah, so you learn how to write books. So then your other books, would you say they're better? Or because I haven't had a chance to read the other ones yet.
The newer ones, are they better?
Oh,
maybe.
Well, yeah, I guess it's a
different question. You know, I haven't read my first book for a long time, but
yeah.
I would definitely think that my writing's improved a lot. And now I write my own books. I've been doing the writing for the last few books. And people have told me that my release on Facebook has become a lot better. I mean, in the last 6 months, I've had a lot of people sending me messages saying, hey, wow, I love the way you write. Your writing is so touching. It's so personal. So this and that.
Yeah. Like,
oh, kind of interesting how suddenly, you know,
it went from nobody
to suddenly a lot of people telling me the same thing. And it's like, oh, wow, okay, so maybe my writing did get better, you know? It's like,
yeah,
I wasn't intending on it. That wasn't the goal, but somehow, you know, so I would hope that, you know, my later books are better written. The stories are more concise, more to the point, less rambling, better English, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, that's possibly because I haven't really been on Facebook so much. It's one thing I kind of miss is I quite enjoyed like getting your updates. Most people's are kind of quite boring, but you also sort of like, whoa, this guy's gone super deep on something kind of really interesting and weird and different. And
lately my newest updates are definitely getting some interesting conversations going because I've been doing this new research exploration around gender identity and gender expression. And so I ended up doing a photo shoot before Pride with heels and female kind of clothes.
Yeah, I remember. Posting I was like, what?
A bunch of those. And that's been fun. I mean, the conversations that it sparked, wow. Some deep, deep conversations there. I think that's opening a big Pandora's box.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I really don't know what to ask exactly, but I feel like I should ask something. What inspired you to go into exploring your sexuality exactly? Did you sort of just realize, hey, I'm just like a human, what does it really matter? Because I even found myself a few years ago being like, why do I really care about being a man? Or like, I was thinking, we're talking about the subject of like being Googleable and having your name, because I'm Sam Harris, and there's like another really famous Sam Harris. And I was like, I could change my name to like, Harsh Harris, because that's kind of gangster, or like Happy Harris, that's kind of funny, or I could just become Samantha Harris. I mean, why do I care about being a guy? I really wasn't that bothered, and like, it's more just like it's a bit of a expense to bother changing your sexuality. And I guess I'm not interested in having sex with guys, so I guess I need to be a lesbian, but I don't really care about the me exactly. And yeah, it's just being a bit lost about the whole thing, and then ultimately didn't really make any decisions and just left it as it is.
I love the questions. I think it's brilliant. And I think to me that's the questions that make life a lot of fun. And that's a lot more of the questions that I want to explore with people.
Mm.
You know, the RuPaul had this really cool quote where he talks about not taking our identity seriously and how, you know, what's cool about drag is that it's making fun of our identities. And yeah, I think that it's interesting. I don't know what sparked. I mean, I've always had weird questions. You know, I've always asked myself weird questions. What made this exploration happen more specifically was the fact that a year ago I went to Pride here in Costa Rica and I wore high heels for the first time in public. And the response was incredible. people behave to me in a way that they've never behaved before. People saw me and treated me in a way that I've never been treated before. Mm. And I was like, wait a second. I didn't change.
I'm still the same person.
The only thing that changed is I'm wearing heels now. But suddenly, everything changed. Reality changed. You know, I was living in a different parallel reality where I wasn't, you know, like a threatening straight white guy. Mm. I was a beautiful, vulnerable, feminine kind of guy, you know, and it was just incredible. And so after that, I went to some, after getting separated from my ex who was trans, I decided to go for the first time alone to a gay club. And I went to the capital city and went to a gay club with heels and stuff. And I never got so many numbers. I mean, it's very simple. I never got a phone number from a girl while out in my life, I think. And there in that one night, I got more phone numbers than I mean, I got tons of phone numbers. I couldn't believe it. From women and men, but mostly from women. And I was like, wait a second. You know, what's going on here? Yeah, there's something to explore. There's something to see, because obviously this is fun. This is interesting. This is different. And the reaction from my audience seemed to be very good.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, it's funny because I certainly found I can get attention from guys a lot more easily than girls. But
oh, yeah.
That's sort of a problem more. And kind of, yeah, it kind of gets me a bit worried when I go out with like lots of people, well, lots of gay people around. And like, I don't really have any problem with gay people, but I get a bit creeped out when like they're constantly sort of talking to me, because I'm like, I look quite young, I've got a good body, and like I'm quite small. As a guy, it's sort of, yeah, it seems to fit like the profile of what other men like, apparently. And it's a bit of a conundrum, because if I could just learn to like men, my life would be great. I would just be having sex all the time.
That's fun. I had that thought a lot, because yeah, I had the same situation. So that's become actually one of my life goals for this year, is getting to find men attractive.
Wow, yeah, like, let me know how that goes.
I'm like, you know what? Why the fuck do I not find men attractive? I was like, it makes no sense. You know, it's half of the population. They want sex all the time. You know, it just like, it just makes so much sense. So that's definitely been one of the new reframing and a new sort of reprogramming of my being, is changing that. And it's been a fun, interesting exploration. Uncomfortable at times for sure, but definitely interesting and fun, because it's like, oh wow, so this is what opening up is like. And you gain a lot of other advantages. I mean, it's the first time that
now people offer me drinks, people
invite me for dinner, people come and pick me up at my place and drop me back home. And it's like, oh wow, this, you know, there's some really nice advantages and perks to being on the other side sometimes.
It's a hard one. Yeah, it's definitely interesting to see how you get around next. Yeah, it would be nice. Except everything else about it I kind of quite like. It's nice. It's just not really that into guys as such. So it's kind of, how do you make your brain?
Well, you know, like people, but you know, like I know a lot of people weren't into seafood, you know?
You can change your mind.
And then eventually you acquire, you know, there's some acquired taste, you know? There's some tastes that are natural, and then there's some stuff that...
Yeah, maybe it's kind of like olives.
Like, and then you always eat it.
Yeah, the more you eat it, the more eventually you're like, wait, actually, you know what? This is not bad.
And then eventually one day you wake up and you're like, wait, this is fucking great, actually. I really like this.
Yeah, I get it. One of my conundrums is like, how do you like first instigate it? Because I don't really want to like do anything with my gay friends, because I feel like they're meant...
Grindr.
Huh?
Grindr is an interesting place to start.
Yeah, I guess.
Because on Grindr, the great thing is that...
a stranger, and it's like, oh, now I'm confused.
Yeah, but then it's kind of... It allows you... The good thing about Grindr is that it redefines sexuality for men also, because it gives a chance to explore sexuality in a very different way, because it's very much, you know, it's very practical. It's not like with women. Cool. You know, it's like you open Grindr, you receive a dick pic, and the guy is like, it's like, hey, you know, do you want sex now? And so you can set your standards right away. Be like, no, you know, I'm just looking for this, that, that, and that. I can do this. I can't do that. And then you get answers very quickly. It's a very quick yes and no kind of situation. So it's kind of interesting. It's like, you know, you get an ass pick. You get, you know, like, that's like, you know, you start with, you know, guys who look very feminine. You got to start with trans women. I don't know.
Wow. Yeah, interesting. Maybe I'll actually try it.
You know, you give it a shot. And, and what's great is that there on Grindr, you can do what you can't do with most women in terms of dating in the sort of the normal kind of world. Of course, some women you can, which is, to just be like, I don't do this. I don't like that. I'm not interested in this.
Yeah.
We're like, okay. You know, I remember sending a photo to a guy, one of my very first people on Grindr. You know, we exchanged photos, and then I send a photo with my face, and he's like, "Ah, sorry, I don't do brunettes." Okay, well,
yeah,
sure. Have a nice day. Thank you. Goodbye. Yeah, you know, and it's just very easy.
Mm.
So yeah, it's an easy way to create good agreements.
Cool. So.
Get some free massages, you know, like you
might get a lot of gay guys will very happily give you a massage and be like, look, you know, you can give me a massage and that's it, you know? Exactly. A massage with a happy ending and no kissing and whatever, you know, you'd be surprised. Some guys would be like, sure, I'll do that. I'll give you a blowjob. I'll just come just give you a blowjob and leave. And that's the thing for me, is that the same with the heels and the same with all these stuff is because some people who are listening may be like, oh, what the fuck? What? Like, whatever. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just fun. It's just trying things in life. It's like trying a new type of food. It's like trying a new job. It's like going to a different country. You know, I think that sometimes we make these kind of explorations too serious. It's like, but then that means you're gay. It's like, maybe not. You're like, oh no, I fucking don't like this. No, this is really not happening. And that's fine. And there's no shame in doing things that then you're like, oh no, wow, no, disgusting. No. No more of that. And I think that that's okay. And I think that that's kind of, for anyone listening, I think that this is the key thing that I love about your openness, is that you're like, oh, maybe I could just try that and see what happens.
Mm. Yeah, it's funny because I remember like being, when I was younger, being really concerned about people thinking I was gay. And now I'm like, I don't even care if someone thinks I'm gay. That's whether they're right or wrong. It's up to them. It's their own thought. It doesn't really matter. I'm still me, whether or not they think this or not.
When I was going to clubs with a friend, I was always kind of biggest was, you know, what if you dance and someone thinks that the way you dance looks a little gay? And then when I went dancing for the first time in a gay club with my high heels, I remember, you know, at first I was a little kind of shy. And I'm in a gay club. I'm not even interested in guys. And then I thought, you know what, the worst that can happen is people think I'm straight.
Yeah.
You know? and that just made me laugh. And I was like, okay, yeah, this is ridiculous. I'm like, you know, who fucking cares? It's like,
yeah,
as a straight guy, I think this is kind of one of the biggest fears. It's a weird thing. And in terms of multiple realities, you know, I'm definitely very LGBTQ and, you know, like I wear high heels, I've had sex with guys and trans and all that.
And I still see myself as a straight guy. And as a straight guy, it still
worries me that people would become gay. Which obviously I am. So fucking LGBT, you know, like. But somehow my straight, white, male side is like, oh God, you know, I don't want people to think I'm gay. Like this is, you know, this would be terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's so ingrained. It's really weird and funny. And I remember having a conversation with my ex where she would, we're in New York and she was like, oh, but my friend can lend you some jeans. And I was like, oh no, his stuff looks so gay. And she's like, you're wearing high heels. Like, I was like, yeah, but high heels is feminine. That's gay. And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I was like, that makes no sense, you know? Why would you be okay with wearing a skirt but not being okay with wearing a gay-looking pair of jeans? I'm like, go fucking figure. I don't know.
Yeah, my brain.
Like, I know it makes no sense. I was like, it makes no sense. I was like, I know it makes no sense. But for me, that looks gay.
Hey, and that it's looks your style. Like, dig it.
You know? But yeah, it's weird. Like, we're weird animals.
Yeah, humans are definitely stupid. So yeah, where do you see... thinking like long term, in like 5 years time, then if you change a lot, do you think you'll still be in Costa Rica running restaurants? Do you think you'll be, you know, had a sex change, adopted some like kids from Thailand?
I have no idea, to be honest. I don't really know. I like to be open to the idea that things could be very, very different from what I imagine. But what I do foresee in terms of, you know, where I think that things are going. In 5 years, I would think that I'm probably still here in Costa Rica, running the restaurant, doing coaching. Possibly by that time, I would be done with my whole sort of gender identity, fashion kind of phase stuff. I might, you know, have moved on to something else. And within 5 years, I'm guessing that I'll probably be looking at the next thing in my life. I've got a feeling that 5 years is kind of the time I need to complete this phase of the restaurant, the land, my home, being legal here in Costa Rica, doing, you know, everything I need to do here. This kind of chapter of my life, I think in 5 years, probably is going to be ready. So I would think that in 5 years is about the sort of what I consider to be, you know, the peak of the mountain for me. It's the point where, you know, is the highest point you can see, and you know on the other side there's something else, but you can't quite see it until definitely. You get to that point.
You can kind of see the lay of the land when you get there and like make your choices, but you don't know what the choices would even be at the moment. So
no, but you know that there's something on the other side. So 5 years, I think there's something interesting on the other side, maybe outside of Costa Rica, maybe in a different place in Costa Rica, but it feels like it's probably going to be the time for a new project, something bigger and more challenging and fun. Yeah. And
cool.
I'm not sure. What's probably related to coaching. I've always wanted to do more of like an incubation kind of education system. I'd love to have people come for much more intense periods of time. You know?
Yeah, I imagine you could do a really good job with that.
What?
Yeah, imagine you could do a really good job with that, like sort of like a 3 month sort of
3 months, super intensive, you know, every day. I would love to do a thing where for 6 months, you know, every day you wake up and we go running together, we exercise together, we meditate together, we cook together, we garden together, we fight together, we practice, you know, different types of activities that stimulate the mind, stimulate the emotions. We do coaching, we do personal development work, we create things. That would be such a cool.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. If you want like a test bunny rabbit to start that off, I'm happy to come help.
Perfect. Absolutely. I'll let you know. That would be, for me, that would be the coolest thing. If I could do 3 months a year, with like 6 to 12 people, do something like that, thing would be so much fun. It would be so interesting.
Yeah, that sounds perfect. Definitely sold on that idea.
Thank you. Well, that's cool. So that's a first person then.
Yeah, nice.
That will be about 5 years time, I think.
Sure, next year isn't it on the cards, you know?
What?
Sure, next year isn't on the cards. Might be, that's what I'm doing in 5 years time. But yeah, anyway, do you think you'll write any other books in the meantime, or...?
Well, there's a new book being published now that I contributed to about growth hacking. And so the chapter in there, it's like, you know, so 2-page kind of chapter in a book with a lot of different people, which is exciting. It's got a lot of very big names from India. And then I'm now actually thinking about doing a new book around gender identity and gender expression. So that's kind of my new baby project, is doing a new photo shoot with a group of people and creating a book that, yeah, would sort of explore these questions and talk about what it means to be male, female, masculine, feminine. Not necessarily, you know, like my other books. I'm not planning to preach and give anybody answers, but
yeah, ask deep I mean, questions.
Instead of giving people a bunch of fucking annoying questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you go and deal with it.
Good luck. Thank you.
Yeah, nice.
So yeah, that's kind of the new book project. So I'm really, really excited by that.
Cool. Okay, then anything that you've been doing that you sort of seen a lot of that you feel like you can predict where it's going in 5 years' time? So like, do you think the way that we view gender will be completely different in 5 years' time, or like the state of restaurants? Or
Yeah, I think that the state of gender is definitely changing a lot. I think that the world is going through a new openness. I think that we're going through a crisis of masculinity.
And I think we're going to see a lot of changes around that.
I think that the gender question is definitely going to be a big topic. And I've got a feeling that, you know, as much as the last sort of 100 years have been about empowering women and about elevating women, I've got a feeling that this next phase now and the next 5 years might be the beginning of reconnecting men with both masculinity and femininity. I can see the response to what I'm doing is so surprising. I mean, from heterosexual men and women in Costa Rica, in the US, in the Philippines, young and old, it's really amazing to see how people are responding. And so I think that this is definitely a trend that's I'm curious to see where it's going to go, because, yeah, I think that we're getting a liberation of gender and opening the attachment and opening questions that were restricting us.
Yeah, yeah, that's very interesting. So you think, like, if you could have just flipped a switch and just said, oh, I'm a woman now today, but, like, have no one sort of think differently as in just treat you as if you'd always been a woman, you'd sort of instantly just, I'd love to know what it would be like to like, grow up where it's being like as a woman and see if I prefer that. But then like taking the change and having the whole backlog of everyone saying, well, you used to be a man, why are you a woman now, is a much bigger thing to like have to deal with. But if you could actually not suddenly have those prejudices against you and just sort of choose to do whatever you feel like on any given day and not worry about the rest of it, suddenly it's like a lot more attractive. And if the world's perception of that changes, then why wouldn't you bother trying it?
Yeah, and that's kind of what I've been doing, is allowing myself to do that.
Yeah,
with the beard and with everything, and have people be like, wait, but if you're wearing a skirt, then you should be shaving your legs, or if you're doing this, you should shave your beard. I'm like, nah, nah,
nice,
I'm not gonna do that. I'll do what I want to do. And, you know, as much as, yeah, the idea of having boobs and, you know, shaving my whole body kind of could be cool, I was like, I'm not gonna go through that. I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm doing the other stuff. I was like, I'm doing what I want to do, and I don't have to conform to an idea. And what's being funny is that, for example, the whole thing about shaving legs, the only people who made a comment is women, not men.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating, because we talk about the whole patriarchy, and I've been arguing for the last couple of weeks on Facebook with people about the fact that women are big holders and keepers of the patriarchy, and these kind of comments confirm that for me. It's women who keep these kind of norms more than men do.
Yeah, yes, and the women that kind of define, like you're saying, like on Tinder, sort of define how dates need to be, whereas on Grindr you can just be what you want. And it's sort of because of you wanted to be impressing women that you sort of define the way you live your life. Whereas if you don't really care so much, it suddenly doesn't really matter and you can kind of do what you want and it becomes a lot more freer. Damn women. Women are great.
they are. And that's what the two energies I think I needed.
Yeah, it's funny.
But yeah, cool. It definitely has that other side to it also.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Okay. So let's go super backtracking. What's your earliest memory from childhood or vivid memory?
I have like a few memories from elementary school, early years. I remember a rabbit getting out of the cage in the classroom and people getting on chairs and teachers screaming.
Yeah.
I can remember that we had like a board, like a behavior board with little like pins. I remember that we had a good behavior dinner in school, in elementary school. These are
random collections.
Yeah. I think a random collection of my earliest memories, and these are all around the same kind of times, first to third grade ish.
Yeah. It's just it's one of the questions that about 50% of people that I ask that have like a crazy weird first memory of like something huge and profound. And 50% of people, it's just some weird, like ask odd stuff that kind of doesn't really tie into anything. But it's kind of worth asking.
No, it doesn't really tie. Except the fact that it's kind of interesting that one of my earliest memories is this dinner about, you know,
now you're
norms and how to, the good behaviors of dining, of French dining. You know, so that's one of my earliest memories, is being told you have to eat like this, like that, and you sit like that, and you can do this, and you can say that. And you can talk
about it. Yeah.
That's the world I lived in. That's the world I grew up in. A world of norms and appearance. That's kind of, I've been talking lately quite a lot about, you know, the whole conversation around white privileges and, you know, what it's like being white. And I think that's one thing that people underestimate about one of the problems with the whole thing of being white is the crazy pressure, at least where I grew up, on appearance and appearing perfect. And the fact that you're never allowed to complain, you're never allowed to be unhappy, because if you complain about anything, an adult will tell you, well, there's a kid somewhere who is less fortunate than you are, and so you don't have the rights to be unhappy or ever complain. And that was kind of a very interesting and weird thing that I've been thinking a lot in the last 48 hours that I never noticed before.
That's quite deep. And certainly like on social media, you sort of feel like you always need to kind of present yourself as having a nice time and doing fun things and such, and not that useful. And if you do say you're having a problem and it's just sort of like crying for attention, and it's also annoying. And
exactly, it's like if you don't talk about the stuff that bring you down and make you feel sad, then it's like you're not being open and vulnerable. But then once you talk about the open and vulnerable stuff, then people tell you don't cry for attention, don't behave like a schoolgirl.
Definitely,
you know. And then people will tell you things like, oh, come on, like, you know, you're from Belgium and blah, blah. It's easy for you. Like, if you were from where we are, it's so much more difficult. And it's a weird thing, you know? Another weird thing that I noticed recent, also in the last 48 hours, I think about is how, as a straight white guy, as a kid, you weren't allowed, when you're frustrated, you were not allowed to cry, because crying made you a sissy and a girl. So, I mean, what's the other response to frustration than crying? Is shouting. But
yeah, it's
as
like
an
not
adult,
like
as a guy, you're not allowed to shout. Exactly, you're not allowed to shout. So when you're frustrated as a guy, you're not allowed to cry because that makes you a sissy. You're not allowed to shout because that makes you aggressive. What the fuck are you supposed to do, and how do you express your frustration as a guy if you're not allowed to either cry or shout?
Stiff upper lip.
What?
Stiff upper lip, as they say in
exactly. And that's what happens. All guys just, And that's why we've got a percentage, we've got like 80% or whatever of suicides being made by men.
And 80% of homicides
are men killing other men. And I think that's because
we take it on other men or we take it on ourselves because
we're not taught how to express our emotions and we're not taught how to sort of be ourselves and how to be. So yeah, this are...
Yeah. Thanks. Fucking
interesting, deep, serious shit that are definitely high on my board these days.
They're kind of hard things to just bring up with people. There's much more interesting things to talk about, and then like, you know, people just ask you what you do and like where you're from, and you're like, whoa, let's just talk like super meta weird shit, and it's much more fascinating.
And yeah, it's like, let's go deep into men and yeah, I think that men have been away from the conversation for too long, you know, like we've talked about everyone else, but especially white men, like, have been sort of not talked about much. What's happening to that group, which is kind of a big group in the West.
Yeah.
Western world. And men in the rest of the world. I mean, men in Asia and men, you know, all over the world have, I think, not been talked about enough. So I have a feeling that this is something that we're going to see more and more.
Yeah. What do you think your life would have been like if you had been born a woman?
God, wow.
Do you think you'd be exploring being a man at the moment? Or
probably, you know what? Very likely. I would certainly think so. I think that if I had been born a woman, I would probably, probably likely be on the flip side and explore masculinity and enjoy both being hyper feminine, but hyper masculine at the same time. I mean, I think that I would hate being stuck in a female role. That's what I say, you know, and that's why I'm not transitioning, because, you know, more than I would hate, you know, more than I hate being stuck being a man would be to be stuck being a woman. You know, it's like I would just be stuck with another problem. You know, it's just,
yeah, grass is always green. I mean, what's the point of like putting so much effort to just have a bunch of different problems?
It's just different problems. Like, it's, I'm gonna resolve some of the problems I have as a man, but I'm gonna gain new problems. So
yeah,
it's trading problems. Do I want to trade problems?
Not really.
You know what? If I had the option when I was 12 or 13, I would have probably done it.
Interesting.
I think so. Yeah, I think that if I had been given a choice and that was an option,
I would have probably been like, yeah, you know what? I'll just be a woman. Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of the debate of people are saying that, sure, like, bring your kids up, like, gender neutral or whatever, but don't let them decide until they're, like, 20, because if they do it when they're 13, they're too young to make this decision and they could, like, fuck up for the rest of their life. But you're saying that actually you would have liked to have changed when you were young, but now it's too late, which is the opposite of all advice.
Yeah, because I think that there's a point where, I mean, especially for me, I learned to love my body. I mean, I learned to love the body I have, you know. If I love the quote, you know, if there's no solution, there's no problem. You know, there was no solution to changing gender, so there was no problem. It was not a problem. It was just a thing that's how it is. So, you know, I asked myself, how do I make the most out of the body I have? And turns out that one of the good things about male body is that it picks up strength pretty quickly and pretty easily, especially if you do it at a young age. And so I became strong and I started exercising and I started, you know, using my body and seeing what I can do with my body. And I'm like, yeah, this is fucking great, you know? And so I don't feel that idea of the gender dysphoria, you know, of like, I'm in the wrong body. I'm like, I'm in this body, you know, whatever. This is the body I have. And yeah, I mean, you know, I was asked by someone, you know, whether I would shave and try to completely be a woman. I think for the right opportunity and the right occasion, I would try it just to see, you know, how close I could be to looking like a woman. But would I want to do that every day?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What would be the right opportunity and the right occasion?
I'm not sure, to be honest. But there was something, the right opportunity, that could be something where I'd be like, yeah, you know what, yeah, I'll do that. But it would have to be a thing where someone else pays for a full body, you know, like a hair removal kind of situation, because I'm not putting the time to remove all this body hair. I've got body hair everywhere. I'm not doing that work. So someone's paying for that.
I'm pretty sure you can get like a full body wax on Groupon for like 50 quid or something. I mean,
a full body? I don't know. Like, I think it's full body for women, not full body for me. It's like, I don't think they do that for monkeys. It's like, you know, like, I mean, we're talking about a lot of hair everywhere. So yeah, someone.
That's painful.
Yeah, I would, you know.
I'm sure we could do a Kickstarter and let's get a full body wax.
Well, you know, there you go. You see, if there was a Kickstarter and people be like, you know, we want to see, you know, you do a full body wax and do a photo shoot or whatever, you know, I'd be like, okay, sure, yeah, we'll do that. Like, that'd be fun, you know?
Yeah, maybe we can.
So exactly. So that's exactly what I mean, you know? Something will come up that will make it, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, I'm definitely, like they said, sometimes things just come along in the right sort of way and you're like, oh, sounds like an adventure suddenly. And you're like, yeah, okay, I'll try it anyway. It'd be kind of fun.
You know, and in the sort of like hypothetical situations, you know, if someone showed up in my life and, you know, we were to fall crazily in love and that person would be like, you know, I'm paying for your sex change and it'd be amazing if you did. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe that would work. Perhaps. You know?
maybe if I was with the right person, the right time, and the person be like, look, you know, here's $100,000, you know, like, and get fake, you know, get boobs and whatever.
Yeah, cool.
No, that might change my mind, you know. That might make me be like, huh, maybe I can do that. Yeah. I mean, but yeah, the thought of transitioning, I mean, the effort, the time, the money, the surgeries, I mean, it just seemed like something that I would never do. Like, there's no way I would ever do that. But then there's so many other things that I thought I would never do that I end up doing. So, again, right conditions, right things, you never know. But it's definitely not on my agenda. It's not something that I think are very likely, but possible.
Mm.
I mean, it would be funny if that were to happen. It would definitely be a good story for the book.
Yeah, exactly. As in half the things I do, I'm kind of like, I don't think I would do it, but actually, it'd be a really interesting story, and fuck it. I mean, what's the matter?
No, that's what I think about a lot of the things that I do in my life.
Yeah.
I often think, you know, when I write a book about my life, you know, will that be a good story? Does that sound like it's the beginning of a good story?
It's a bit, you know, actually, it's really good philosophy of like, actually, you learn a lot more and just do.
Exactly. It's like, you know, a truck with five guys and machine guns stops and offered to pick me up on the side of the road. It's like, you want to hear the rest of that story. Definitely. It doesn't fucking matter what happens. You're like, oh, yeah, that, then what?
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I decided whether I get in the car or not, which is, you know, oh yeah, yeah, that'll make a good Facebook post. It's definitely worth it.
Yeah. Nice. You know? Yeah, so who knows, maybe in 5 years time.
I'm looking at life now. There you go. Does it make a good Facebook post? Would that story make a good Facebook post?
Wow.
Ooh, terrible.
Yeah, I don't know about the Facebook part, but otherwise good story in life part is definitely good philosophy. But yeah, maybe in 5 years time, when I'm a millionaire and I come to your retreat, perhaps by the end of it, we're falling in love and I pay for you to become a woman and life is great.
Exactly. Who knows, you know, like things happen that are unexpected. And I think that's what makes life exciting.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like these conversations, you know, it's also interesting for me that things happen at the right time in the right place. I've been talking in the last few months about how I'm wanting to get back into having more conversations. And, you know, because from the cooking, you know, and it was kind of like, I'm into having conversations and coaching and interviews and this and that. And I didn't really have, you know, sort of like a set of strategy that I would have had in the past. It was more sort of, you know, let's put this intention out there and let's take actions towards this happening. But, and today I had two conversations. So I had a conversation with you. I had a conversation earlier this morning around the theme about the heels and what makes us feel feminine. And I've got another conversation scheduled soon. And so suddenly it's all happening. It's very interesting how it's all emerging whenever, you know, you want and you let it happen. I think that's when also the magic of life, when you get out of the way and you stop trying to control everything.
Definitely.
So yeah, this is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I was wondering, because I mean, I only really had one conversation with you before that I found really useful. But is it a bit like odd as a coach when you have so many meaningful, useful conversations with people? Do you feel kind of like you constantly have to be helping people because of,
I feel
like you've got like a bit of a gift that you're just super good at like talking to people and helping them. Do you feel like you constantly have to do this now?
Yeah, which is why it was nice to take a break from it and to not be coaching people. Because yeah, there's a point where it becomes, I think like everything, it becomes repetitive. It becomes, you know, something that you feel you have to do.
Yeah,
it becomes like a must. It becomes automated. It becomes, you know, like...
Yeah, yeah, that's
for me, the moment that something becomes a routine, it's time for me to change.
Yeah.
And I know that that's why it's time for me to get back into coaching, because the cooking is slowly starting to become a bit of a routine. Mm. Something where I'm so good that I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever. I don't really need to think about it. I just do and do and do and do, and it works and it's great. But I think you need that drive of something up, and so that's why I'm finding a pull to something new, and that's I guess where I'm liking the whole gender identity thing, and that's leading to new coaching kind of conversations. But I'm still trying to get away from the word coaching. I'm still looking for another word, and I think it's more around conversation than around coaching, because I much rather have a conversation than coaching.
And then how do you get someone to pay you to have conversations with you?
That's kind of what I'm exploring, and I don't have an answer quite now. But yeah, coaching is.
But you have the questions, so
yeah,
I get that. Cool.
So we're gonna figure this out. You know, it's gonna happen and emerge somehow. But definitely, like it's cool to see how one thing leads to another.
Yeah, definitely. So, what's the kindest thing someone's ever done for you?
The kindest thing that someone's ever done to me. Ooh. Wow, there's been so many. Let me try to give me a second to think about it.
It's happened so many times, but I think it's always the same. It's
times where I've had people who've given me the love and loved me when I felt like I didn't love myself. People who loved me unconditionally at times, people who loved me in ways that I didn't think was lovable. That's the kindest thing that people have done in my life. And I can't think of one more than another, because it's just happened so many times. I mean, one of the latest ones was with my ex before we were even together, and when she told me, you know, and often I find that it's like small lines or small things people do that seem like nothing. It's that type of that line which said, nothing would be too feminine for you. That was just an incredible gift. So I guess, you know what, in a way, it's like when love becomes like a key that opens a new door.
Because that's what it was, you know?
That loving comment that just opened a new world for me. And that made a new life possible. And that's very, very kind. That's a beautiful gift, because now you can live a whole new life. Thanks to that one comment, that one heart, that one line, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty deep, but really beautiful. Thanks. Yeah, have you got any questions for me? or do you have any questions that you want to leave people to ask themselves, or one than the other? I don't know how much time you have.
I guess I don't have a specific question, except possibly just sharing the one question that I've been enjoying asking myself lately, and that my ex used to
be sometimes really annoyed when I would ask her,
which is, what do you want to do with your life today? And I've been kind of having a lot of fun playing with that question about the idea of reinventing my life every day and sitting and being, okay, so what do I actually want to do with my entire life today?
Yes, yeah, pretty and epic.
And it makes every day sort of open to that idea of being
a bit more exciting and effective.
Yeah.
Not wasting
and
things.
Be nice, you know? And actually, surprisingly, quite a lot of time I've been like, actually, nothing. I was like, right now with my life, I want to do nothing. I was like, this is going to be perfect. So somehow it's been very freeing also.
Yeah, being a bit of a plant, as you say.
Oh, yeah, that's been good.
Cool.
Being a vegetable, fun.
Nice. Well, yeah, thank you so much. That was a super fascinating conversation. It was delight to reconnect with you after 5 or 6 years that it's been.
And yeah.
It's been great to have an excuse.
Same here. It's been fun. And I'm glad, you know, that we can have these conversations. And I think it's awesome that we're at times where we can record conversations like these and where we can share them. Because it's fun. And, you know, and I think of myself when I was younger. If I had access to conversations like these when I was like 13, 14, 15, I would have freaking loved this. I mean, I've always loved listening to people having cool conversations. So yeah, it's fun. Thank you so much. And thanks for taking the time. Thanks for the attention. Thanks for, going to this without necessarily a strict agenda and the idea of an open exploration. I'm not even sure what we talked about.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking like, yeah, some like life coaching, business advice, or something, and ended up being like, oh, so maybe I try wearing high heels and going on Grindr. Nice that we opened the avenues there. There is.
Yeah, you never know.
Human and stuff.
So I definitely look forward to seeing, you know, what comes out of these explorations. If something comes out of it, let me know. It'd be fun to hear.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it'd be fun. Definitely try it out. Cool.
Well, awesome.
Thanks, man. And good luck with the rest of the conversations today and writing the book, and hopefully try and catch up a bit more regularly than every 5 years. If not, I'll be seeing you on a beach time ready for a morning run.
Exactly, when we're doing the next project.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Whenever we reconnect, will be awesome. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for the conversation.
Cool. All right.
Sending you lots of love. Take care. Yeah.
Well, that was a little bit different, but I wouldn't have it any other way. Certainly a lot of food for thought to start off your year. And I think a little bit different to any other podcast that's going to be telling you about like habits and setting you up for success. And I'm like, hey guys, let's think about gender. Ooh, why are you your gender? Maybe you should be a different gender. Yeah, it's a good start to the year / decade. Just completely redefine who you may or may not be and what is your role in the world. Interesting, definitely. Next week, I have a mindset coach on the podcast who is lovely. And a very good author. I love her book. This is Tracy Litt. And I do talk to her about sex also and my own problems with sex. So that would be interesting if you liked this podcast. And otherwise, I will be talking to Nam again. He's currently on an ayahuasca ceremony course for the week, which you may have probably already guessed that he may be into these things. So he will be catching up with me in a month or two's time to discuss some of these things. But actually, going forwards with the podcast, I am going to be changing it a bit to be a bit more focused on mindset, because of I feel I've maybe missold people a bit on the Growth Mindset podcast, because I kind of just, it's more just me being very curious and asking people whatever the hell goes into my head, which is lovely and worthy of being on a podcast for sure. But perhaps I should be a bit more focused on just talking about mindsets on here and try to deliver what the title says, and I'm going to start a separate podcast kind of just for me to be curious and do whatever the hell I feel like, because I think I've kind of I feel like I am teaching you all about mindsets just vicariously by like finding people's life stories and working out how they've changed their life and turned things around and what the mindsets were that they needed to do that. But I haven't really focused on just the mindset part of it and just gone on a field trip into everything that I possibly can do, which is a lot of fun for me, but I think I could be a lot more concentrated and focused. And so I'm setting up a few different podcasts that actually have a more specific focus rather than just having one podcast where I just throw everything I can at it. So welcome to 2020. I'm going to be doing lots of different podcasting projects, which is my new thing, I guess. I hope you're having a great new year and you're questioning the reality of everything. You're living in multiple universes. You're making fun stories that you can engage in every day and really having adventures of your own. And you're learning to be more like a plant that can chill out most of the time and just spend a few days working like hell and concentrated like output, which is some of the fun things we've learned from now in the last few episodes. And if not, then I hope you learn to do these things better. Cool. On that note, goodbye.
You've just listened to an episode of the Growth Mindset Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe on your preferred app and give me a good rating, as these go a really long way. If you are unable to give good feedback right now, try sharing the show with a friend who will, or just wait for the show to improve. If you have any ideas for the show or you just want to chat, then please reach out to me on Twitter at SamHarrisTweets or Instagram at SamJamSnaps. Show notes and other links to topics discussed in the episodes are available at the website growthmindsetpodcast.com. Thanks so much for listening. Give yourself a big hug from me. If you're with a friend, give them a hug as well. And I hope you enjoy your next podcast.